Thanks, Michael. Right, so I'm going to be talking about supersymmetric models with R parity violation that violates Lepton number. So I'll discuss a couple of models that are motivated by naturalness and unification that I'll argue can help hide supersymmetry from current LHC searches, but offer interesting and some unique signatures that you could look for in the future. So these Lepton number violating models, I'm going to talk about how to grand unified physics and neutrino masses that I'll discuss a bit, but most of the talk will really be about SUSY phenomenology. So you could take a minute to put your SUSY hats on there for a while. Okay, so as theorists, we really like low energy supersymmetry. It solves many of the outstanding problems of the standard model. The hierarchy problem gives us a dark matter candidate. It gives precision gauge coupling unification. But it introduces problems of its own. And in light of LHC results, the most pressing of these is what's been called the missing superpartner problem. So of course, just the statement that so far we have seen none of these, the superpartners, predicting the MSSM. And so the constraints are becoming quite strong. So these are some very recent results from Atlas, just released a week ago. The full APV data set asserts in jets and missing energy. So if you have a model with squarks, galenos, and a neutralino, is this a pointer? Yeah. Well, squarks, galenos decaying to a stable neutralino, you can see that the bounds on the squark are about 1,800-ish GeV, bounds galena 1,500 GeV, even if you, for a range of neutralino masses up to about 700 GeV, this green line. So an 1,800 GeV squark plays havoc with our notion of SUSY as a natural theory of the weak scale. So there'd be severe fine-tuning of the electroweak scale. The squarks are that heavy. One way to alleviate the missing superpointer problem is to introduce R parity violation. So we can have either the Lepton number violating operators, shown here in blue, or this UDD bare number violating operator. Can't have both at appreciable level because it'll induce proton decay. So of course, now we no longer have stable SUSY dark matter, but we can always introduce other well-motivated dark matter candidates. Like an axion, for example. So you can still hope to solve all of the woes of the standard model. So it's well known that baryonic R parity violation can hide supersymmetry and solve this missing superpartner problem. So if I take my original spectrum of squarks and galenos, but introduce RPV so that my neutralino decays to three quarks, three jets, this becomes an all-hadronic signal that's totally swamped by the QCD background. So there's some proposals for search techniques to try and pick this out from the background, but so far there are no LHC constraints on this type of spectrum. So this has been recently studied extensively in the model building community as one of the last hopes for natural supersymmetry. But as promised, I'm going to be talking about the other R parity violation. So the other possibility, which is breaking Lepton number. So why would I do that besides being this contrary? So I put a few wishy-washy reasons you might prefer Lepton number over baryon number violation in small type here. So for example, baryonic RPV is problematic for baryogenesis. It tends to wash out if you have baryon number violation. Actions, it tends to wash out baryon number you generate cosmologically, even at very low scales. And if you believe in the seesaw mechanism for neutrino masses, you'd suspect that Lepton number is not really a perfect symmetry of nature. But really, the idea of the main motivation for studying Lepton number breaking is that argue they can still hide supersymmetry at colliders, not as effectively as pure hadronic RPV, but can greatly reduce the bounds in the superpartner masses and give some unique signatures that you could hope to look for. Okay, so let me jump into one of the models that I want to talk about today, which is just bilinear R parity violation, where we write this bilinear LH term. So this is motivated in SU5 unified theories in the following way. So if I want to put the matter of the standard model into SU5 representations and then write SU5 invariant R parity violating operators, I can write either this trilinear term or this bilinear term. So if I write this 5 by 5 by 10 operator, then I get all three trilinear RPV terms at equal level. So I get simultaneous lepton number and Beer number violation, which is deadly for proton decay. So this coefficient would have to be extremely small and just irrelevant to collider physics. I could get around this by breaking the SU5 matter unification some amount, but just writing this is problematic. Now, the other operator I could write is 5 bar on the 5 bar of the leptons times the 5 of the Higgs up, which would give me my LH up, lepton number violating operator, plus D and the colored Higgs, so the colored Higgs triplet partner of the Higgs up. So this looks like it also violates lepton number and Beer number violates lepton number and Beer number violation. But this colored Higgs is dangerous on its own, because this is famous double triplet splitting problem that this colored Higgs is going to mediate proton decay regardless of operator violation. So we need to give it, decouple it somehow. For example, give it a huge SU5 breaking mass in the order of m gut or so. Any SUSY gut faces this problem. But once we solve this, no matter what we do, we need to decouple this colored Higgs somehow. Once you do that, when you write this operator, I really only have this term violating lepton number. So the effects of this have completely decoupled, have mostly decoupled. If I write this at an SU5 invariant way, I mostly get lepton number at a low energy. Okay, so the model I'll be thinking about is I write down the same bilinear terms before, and I also have the Higgs mu term. And so now this leads to mixing of the lepton and Higgs down doublets by some angle given by this bilinear term over the mu term. And when I diagonalize that, I'm going to get from the Yukawa terms, I'm going to mix H down into L and get trilinear RPV from the Yukawa terms. So this is a pretty predictive scenario that it tells us, since these coupling to proportional to Yukawas, it tells me the largest R parity violating effects involve the heavier generation particles, and particularly bottom quarks. There. Okay, so what are the constraints on this type of model? This lepton number violation gives Majorana neutrino masses, which turns out to be the strongest constraint. So an irreducible source of neutrino masses is this diagram with a squark loop. These are the RPV interactions. So this gives me a neutrino mass on of this order, suppressed by squark mass. Epsilon YB are these vertices, and these give you Yukawas. So with just the epsilon I, I don't have enough parameters to fit the neutrino masses. But at the very least, this will set some upper bound on this parameter epsilon that I don't want to exceed the known bounds of neutrino masses. So this turns out to require epsilon less than about 10 to minus 3. And once I do this, I also avoid any bounds of proton decay in a gut completion when you have the effects of this colored Higgs operator. Okay, what does the LSP decay look like here? So if I have a neutralino LSP, it tends to decay to a neutrino and two bottoms if it's through this LQD operator, LQ3D3, the largest operator. So if it's too light to decay to a top. So I can plot the neutralino lifetime here, and I find for neutralino masses less than about 100 GeV, these are the decay lengths in centimeters, so 1 centimeter, 0.1 centimeters, 10 centimeters. So I tend to get macroscopic decay lengths because my R parity violation is so small. So this small RPV will lead to a displaced decay of your LSP. So this is a very distinctive non-standard model-like signature of an invisible particle traveling some distance in the detector and decaying. As Brian mentioned in his talk, this tends to, standard tracking at colliders doesn't, fails when you have a displaced decay like this. So at the LHC, tracks are required to pass within a millimeter of the beamline. And so if a displaced decay, this fails. So you don't reconstruct leptons from this displaced decay, and you can't tag B jets from displaced decay. So many of these searches no longer place constraints. So really, the only relevant searches here are searches in just jets and missing energy. So here are some constraints from ATLAS searches in jets of missing energy. Same model of a squirt, gluino, and neutralino, but now the neutralino decays to a neutrino and two bottom quarks. So these are constraints from 7TeV searches and 8TeV searches. So I haven't updated for the very newest analysis of full 20 inverse femtobarns. OK, so you can see here, even with the 8TeV data, you can have squarks at 1,000, 1,200 at least, with which is at least considerably lighter than the bounds of 1,600 or so in the stable neutralino case. But one thing, so these are theorist-level simulation using Pythia and PGS and so on, which inevitably have some uncertainty. And so suppose I rescale the cross sections by 1.3 to, if my efficiencies are 30% high, I just showed this plot illustration. So this is just to indicate that this lower region here of light squark mass is only ruled out by a factor of 30% in this model. So this is potentially still an interesting window for very light squarks. Very light squarks in the case of a heavy gluino. OK, so maybe let me very briefly mention a different model that's not a bilinear, not this bilinear sort of model, but I use more general left number violin couplings and get a final state with taus and jets, which is much more well hidden. Because these are both difficult objects to distinguish at a Hadron collider. Suppose that I have a model with LQD couplings, a Higgsino LSP, and light sleptons. Then my Higgsino tends to decay through my left-handed stau to a tau and two jets. Okay, so this will have, the tau usually looks like a hadronic object. So this has generally a lot of jets and some limited missing energy. So you can look at the constraints on that in the same plane, which are considerably looser, right? And so now you can get a squark as light as can get this point at 800 GeV squark and 1200 GeV gluino. And for those of you who are worried about naturalness, you may be relieved to see that this if you have low scale SUSY breaking, this is like about a 10% tuning. So this is approaching a more natural model of supersymmetry that you may be hoping for, just using left and number violating couplings. Okay, so to conclude, so I just gave you some small taste of what you can do with leptonic RPV. So I've argued that you can greatly relax the bounds on supersymmetry despite the presence of leptons and missing energy in the final state. So objects that can actually be identified and reconstructed at the LHC. So this motivates some LHC searches for these final states, in final states with many jets and small missing energy, for example, this neutrino BB bar decay, many jets and some leptons, including taus, and displaced vertices if you have these long-lived LSPs. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm confused about the following point. Uh-huh. If I just have the superpotential, I have the mu terms that mix LHU, so LHU terms, and then the HDHU terms. Uh-huh. I can always call HD to the linear combination that multiplies HU, and that's it. So the only reason why I cannot do that is that then I look at the potential, and I have the B mu terms. And then those are not necessarily aligned with the mu terms in the superpotential. So then the question is, there is another source of neutrino masses that come from mixing with neutralinos via the vacuum expectation value of the sleptons. And I would expect in these models that the natural predictions that they are big.
They should be very small. Yeah, so those can give contributions to neutrino masses. So those depend on the supersymmetry breaking, your model of supersymmetry breaking. So this... Right. So here, the reason I showed this this loop is that no matter what you do with supersymmetry breaking, you can't escape this. So if I'm trying to get this you know, some conservative lower bound on epsilon, you know, this is, epsilon needs to be at least smaller than this. Now, if you have a supersymmetry, you know, if you have, you know, B mu large enough, then you will absolutely generate, get a neutrino VEV and generate neutrino masses from that. And that will only force epsilon to be even smaller. And that will push you, you know, even more towards this displaced phenomenology that I discussed. So that's definitely possible, and try to just be sort of conservative, avoid displaced decays as much as they could, but you seem to be almost forced into it.
Real quick, just to add to what Carlos said, I mean, there is soft supersymmetry breaking that's R parity violating that it's very hard to ignore in models like this, realistic models like this. And the B parameter associated with the R parity violating thing leads to neutrino mixing, which often leads to the dominant source of neutrino masses. So just as a follow-up from Carlos's comment.
So naturalness, I think, is one of your motivations. And have you thought about effects on, let's say, stop searches or Higgs-Enos searches?
So this is a pure light stop case. So far not so much. So certainly not at the simulation level. Although I'd expect you'd greatly relax those bounds as well. You're just eliminating a lot of, you know, those still rely on missing energy, you know, at the end of the day. And if you're eliminating a lot of that.
When we talk about fine tuning, clearly you stop.
That's true. Okay, so I've been somewhat motivated by naturalness, but also interested in seeing, can you have many squarks? So this is a, you know, much larger production cross section for this new phenomena than you'd get with just pure stops. So it's also interesting to me that you could have, you know, many squarks at, you know, 400 to 800 GeV and huge production cross section. You know, what can you do to see that?
Thank you very much.